We have been looking into and listening to the words of Jesus in this series. Last year in January, we started in the book of Genesis, and this year we started in January in a series of the words of Jesus. And Lord willing, I just believe that it's good to look into every type of book in the Bible. Every book of the Bible has something to say to us, every part of Scripture, and we've been focusing on the words of Jesus, especially in the last few weeks in the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to continue that today, and I want to speak to you about an important area that Jesus talked about and we find throughout the Bible. At the northern end of the Sea of Galilee are mountains, and really around most of the Sea of Galilee are mountains that go up, some that are more steep toward the southern end, and toward the northern end, they're a little more sloping, and they don't rise up so quickly, but they are beautiful, and it kind of makes a bowl shape around the Sea of Galilee. And on the northern end of the Sea of Galilee is kind of open plains there, not far from Capernaum. And it's here that most people believe that Jesus spoke and taught the Sermon on the Mount. Having an opportunity just to see that area, you can just imagine what it was like for Jesus to have all the people come out from the towns around there and want to listen to him. And so he decided to take them up on I don't know what time of the day, but he took them up on the side of the mountain. And then they all sat down and Jesus taught them. Chapter 5, verse 1 describes it a little bit like this. Now when he saw the crowds, Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And Jesus taught many things to them on that day. Maybe all that we find in those three chapters called the Sermon on the Mount, or maybe a composite of different times that Jesus spoke, but Jesus gives us some very deep and great things to think about. And I want to say, and I've said before, that the Sermon on the Mount seems to me to be mostly about the heart. You know, sometimes we can get focused on the external things that may be important to us in our Christianity and what we believe and how we live it out, but it all begins in the heart. And most of Jesus' teaching is about the heart. In fact, if you look at his parables and you look at his relationship with people and Sermon on the Mount, and you know, Jesus just talked about the heart over and over again and matters that are deeply close to the heart. Well, last Sunday morning, we focused on Jesus' words that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And it's up to us to let our light shine. Jesus described we all have a light if we're believers. If we've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have light. You know, a candle's light. From one candle to another, the light is the light. I mean, there's not a lot of variety in a candle's light. There's a lot of variety with what candles look like. But the light itself is pretty much constant. And Jesus said we all have that. And there's a potential of what good that light can do. And we have a choice to make. We can put it under a basket and cover it up and people can't see it. Or we can let our light shine for him. And last week we talked about how important it is that we let our light shine for God. Well, this morning I'd like for us to hear what Jesus said about the heart and another important subject found in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talks about a great contrast between this life and eternity and how important it is for us to give thought to how we're living and how it affects this life and how it affects eternity. He used the term between heaven and earth and our potential for making a difference, how we live, the choices we make. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and listen to the words of Jesus as he talks about treasure and how we view the possessions that God allows in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So again, Jesus speaks about the heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then one more verse, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus seems to teach us that certain attitudes about our money and our possessions will keep us from our light shining for Him in the world around us. This is one of several areas that Jesus will talk about of how our attitude is towards something will impact our influence and our ability to let our light shine for Jesus. These words are about what matters most in life. Jesus is helping us and calling us to think about what really matters in this life. What counts the most? What matters for all of eternity? To the heart of God and even to us, Jesus is calling us to think about and remember what we're doing with our lives and what's important to us. When we take the time to listen and to evaluate, all of us, I'm sure, know that people are most important to God. We know from the gospel story and the revelation of God throughout Scripture how important people are. So when I read about Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and I read Jesus' words about treasures, I realize, well, what's most important to God? What does God care most about in His creation? We think about all the marvelous, wonderful, amazing things that God created. We're told that He loves man. His nature is love. He made us in His image, and He cares deeply about us. He cares about this life, and He cares about all of eternity. He cares about every single soul that was created. And so what's important to the heart of God is people. And God calls us to remember when we let our light shine that it's our influence on people that matters greatly to the heart of God. I notice here that Jesus speaks of heaven and earth. When I think about this part of, I've read it many, many times, and you've probably read this, I don't know, dozens or hundreds maybe of times, this particular passage, and when Jesus talks about storing up treasure. And I notice when I read this and I study and I think about it that Jesus talks about heaven and earth. He doesn't talk about heaven and hell. And I've wondered why not. We know that He speaks about hell elsewhere in the Gospels and in His stories, and he uses several different words for hell. But here in this passage, He talks about heaven and earth. I guess the conclusion that I have come to is that we know Jesus is speaking here to the church. He's speaking to those that already have come to faith in Christ, to you and I that have received the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells me that Jesus is talking to the believers, and it's the believers that have to make the important decisions about where we store up our treasures. That every one of us who have come to faith in Christ, the issue has been settled about heaven and hell, but the issue has not yet been settled about heaven and earth. And Jesus knows that when we live in this world, we can have an attitude, or we can have a spirit, or we can have a mindset. We can have a worldview that minimizes our impact and our ability to store up treasures in heaven. Jesus says how important it is for us to store up treasures in heaven and not on earth. For those that are in Christ, there is no longer any condemnation. But Jesus tells us that we do have a choice, and we do have influence that we can have on other people and how we live our lives and how we live out the principles of treasure in our lives will impact, can impact, and will likely impact a certain influence of people in our lives. And our attitude about our treasures will greatly impact our influence. That's not the only thing that will impact our influence. And so this morning, I want to be sure to be clear. This isn't the only thing important about our hearts in our witness, but this is something that is very important, though. It is a part of what is very important in your ability to let your light shine for Jesus in the world that you live in. Your attitude, your feelings, how you live out the principles of storing up treasure. We have big and important and practical choices to make. And there's a lot of variety of the circumstances that we all have. How much is enough? What is right for us? How do we spend our time? How much time do we spend doing this and doing that? How much of our resources do we give? How much do we save? How long do we work? How many hours do we work? Who do we give our money to? Who do we support? How do we handle our hobbies and our things that we enjoy? These are big questions for us to consider and be reminded of. Jesus simply gives us some principles about finances, about treasures that are important. In fact, there's a lot of different principles that Jesus and the Scriptures tell us about. Jesus says, do not. He begins here. He starts this topic of treasures with the words, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. He says to be very careful about what can be very natural to us. What can be very natural about what we think is important? I mean, you ask the world what's important, it is to get all you can. That's a whole different principle than what Jesus taught us, how he wants us to look at things in our lives. What is an important question? That's an important question for us to ask at times. Maybe to step back from our jobs, from our finances, from how we spend our checkbook and say, God, is my life in balance of what you want it to be? Am I living out the principles of the kingdom that you want for my life? Am I focusing on the things that you want to? Do I have balance in my life that is pleasing to you? To stop and ask these questions are good. I just believe that every Christian should do that periodically. Whether you've been a Christian for 70 years or you're just starting out on the journey, but to step back and ask God, sometimes, once in a while, God, would you look at this area of my life? Look at my priorities. Next week, we're going to focus on time and talent. Today, treasure. But look at who I am. Look at what I focus on. Look at what my time is taken up by. Look at what my habits say about what I care about. Do I care about the things that God wants me to? So asking the question of what is very important. Do we focus on the things that God wants us to? What does our checkbook say about our finances? What does it show about heaven and earth? What does it say about what's really important to us? See, the Bible says a great deal about treasure. The Bible says a lot about money. It says a lot about possessions. In fact, I've read a list of the things that Jesus talked the most about, and the general category that Jesus talked the most about was in the area of finances. You look at his parables and, oh, I should say stewardship. Finances kind of indicate just money, but it's stewardship that Jesus talked the most about. And there's so much in the Scriptures about stewardship. For example, I'll just name a few of them. There's a lot of Scriptures that talk about work ethic. That's not my topic today, but even beginning with a commandment, 6 days shalt thou labor, and many other proverbs about work ethic and our integrity when we work, and the amount that we work. Scriptures about working hard and being industrious and saving up, and a lot of things that are good for us to hold in our hearts and our minds in balance of the principles that are important to the heart of God. And if you don't listen to those and you don't have that, then your life will be diminished. You will miss the blessing, and you will not have a light that shines for Jesus that God wants for you. There's also many, many, many Scriptures about generosity. And again, that's not my topic today, but I have to mention it. But boy, the Bible is full of things that gives us the heart of God about being generous to people, caring about people and their needs, and the poor and the hungry and the imprisoned and those whole areas that Jesus talked about. And we find throughout the Old Testament how generosity is so important. Generosity is to be deep inside of us as God's people. Generosity ought to be one of those fountains on the inside of who God's people are. And when it's blocked up, then our influence for Christ and our light is under a bushel basket. If that's an area that you struggle with, and there may be different ways in the whole area of stewardship that you struggle with, but if that's where Satan tempts you, then pray that God can open something up in you so that everything you have belongs to God and you see it that way. Then he'll show you what's right and best. I'm not up here to tell you what to give and how much to give and all those things. That's not my job as a pastor. My job is to tell you to come before the Holy Spirit and ask God what he wants you to do in your life, in your spirit, regarding generosity. There's so many others I could mention. I'll just mention one more and then I'll move on from that. And that's a principle of our stewardship is trust. How important it is that we trust God with what we have and don't have. How important it is that we know that He's in charge and we can come to Him and call out to Him and pour out our hearts to Him, and He knows our hearts and our needs. I'm afraid sometimes we can go through our whole Christian lives and never really develop that trust and belief that God's in control. How important it is that you trust God. You don't put your trust in your chariots and horses, as one scripture says. You don't put your trust in what you have, because it can be gone in a moment. People who put their faith and their faith rests on their possessions or their money are people that when they lose the former, they also lose the latter. I've seen that and you've seen that. If your trust is in your possessions, you are on very tenuous ground, because it can all be gone in a moment. And we know that as well. There's so many good principles about the possessions that God allows for us. We also know from the scripture that being poor or being rich is not a function of whether you're godly. That's throughout the Bible. There were poor people who loved God and God blessed them and honored them. And there were very wealthy people that God, absolutely, they were enemies of God. I think of so many examples. I think of one man who had both. And I think part of the reason the book of Job was written, for us to see both sides of that. I mean, here was Job that was the wealthiest man alive, it says, in his day. He had everything. God had just allowed everything in his life. He was the wealthiest of men. And he loved God. He loved God. God allowed it all to be taken away. So he went from the wealthiest man to having almost absolutely nothing. And he still loved God. See, it's not how much you have or don't have that will determine whether your heart's right with God. It's not whether you have retirement and security and a good job and the right kind of car and even the bills paid, as hard as that is. It's not whether you have all that that makes your heart right with God. So don't let that be the standard of your relationship with God. Man, we live in a country where we have so much. I mean, we do view this scripture from a particular perspective. But I tell you, the people that I met in India, they have a whole different side to look at Matthew chapter 6. So it really doesn't matter whether you have a lot or you have a little. What matters is what's in your heart. And does it all belong to God? All these things are so important. I think of the parable that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. Here was the rich man. He had everything materially, but he was destitute morally. And there was Lazarus on the other side. He was a beggar. His body was covered with sores. I mean, you look at him and say, man, God must have forgot about him. Of course, that's a parable, but that's kind of the purpose of the parable. You have a very wealthy man, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, who took Jesus and laid him in the tomb. You had a rich man who went away sorrowful. You see, it's not how much you have that really matters about your heart. On a scale of 1 to 10, you can be a 1, a 10, or a 5, and your heart can be right with God, or you can be outside His will. One more. I love the story of the widow who had two mites. There she was, and she dropped them in. What did Jesus say of her? She's given more than anybody else. It's not how much you have that matters, but it's your heart. It's who you are on the inside that matters to God. That's what I call you to pray about today, about your attitude about what you have. Jesus cares deeply about the heart. I want to give you five things that Jesus said about finances, about money, about treasure, whatever you call it. Five scriptures. The first one talks about the perils of wealth and how we got to be careful that whatever we have doesn't change us. Change how we see God. Change how we see people. Bring up that scripture, Matthew chapter 19. This scripture reminds us that there is a peril, there is a risk to wanting more. There is a risk to having more than we need. I think, well, what's he talking about here? How did Jesus define a rich man? I don't know. He never says exactly who's rich and who's poor. I mean, you ask a lot of poor people and they think they got so much. And but on the other hand, you ask some people that have a lot and they never think they have enough. So I don't know how you define rich and poor. One person has said the difference between a rich man and a poor man, the rich man has what he needs, the poor man doesn't. The question is, maybe when you put yourself in that category, do you have what you need? Are your needs met? That's one way to look at it. I mean, I think of Jesus talking about those that were hungry and their needs. There was a rich man who came to Jesus. Well, Jesus said, again, I tell you. So he said it before. He actually said it two verses earlier in a different way. But he says, again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Something to think about. Wherever you're at, why would Jesus say that? It's a principle here. It doesn't say rich people won't go to heaven. It says be careful. If you have more than you need, it can change how you view God. It can change your trust level. It can also change how you look at other people. Boy, I do see this, and this is a concern, and I'm preaching to myself here. I'll tell you how this kind of plays out to me as a pastor. Sometimes when I see people that are poor, they don't have much, and they've sometimes made mistakes, and they've done dumb things, and whatever, I tend to look down on them a little bit. I tend to think they're not as worthy. And I'd venture to say that in our church family, we have to be careful about that. See, God looks at people different than we do. On the other hand, I tended always not to trust rich people. They'll want to manipulate me. So there's both sides of it. But Jesus said, be careful. Be careful how you look at people. Be careful that you don't let the possessions and those things define people in your heart and your mind. I think character is a far better way to measure people. I've said before that it's not the color of the skin that matters to me, it's the character of the heart. And it would apply also to riches and wealth. It's not how much you have that matters to me, it's your heart before God that really matters. I think that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 19. The second scripture, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Again, it's kind of similar to the first one. Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And here Jesus is giving us another warning. Don't define your life by what you have or don't have. Don't allow that to be the definition of what success is or the definition of what joy is. Or the definition of what fulfillment is, the definition of anything, because it's a very misleading thing. In fact, it will be misleading from the heart of Satan. He could put you on a pedestal and make you feel proud of yourself. That would keep you from being humble before God. Or on the other hand, he could put within you an attitude of low self-esteem so that you don't stand up and do what God calls you to do. We need to get our self-esteem not from our possessions, but from the Spirit of God. It's so true about what we have and don't have. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I kind of felt like when I've been thinking about that verse, I say amen to that. It's so true. Although the temptation might be for it to be at times, that's not where it is. That's not where fulfillment is. Don't think you're pleasing to God because you succeed in some way financially. Or any other way of life. It's deep down in your heart that you're pleasing to God or you displease God. Sometimes we can see life through a lens of material things. The desire to want just a little bit more can be a strong temptation. Moving on to the third scripture this morning, also from Luke chapter 12, a little bit later in the chapter, is a reminder of how quickly life will be over. God said, this very night your life will be demanded from you. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Jesus reminds us of the brevity of life, and James talks about that as just a vapor. Sometimes life seems very long, but in reality it's very short. How God sees our lives are very short. Sometimes we don't see it that way, but God reminds us, don't get your mind off the knowledge that there's all of eternity to go. Jesus says, remember that. Your life could be demanded from you today. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. I think Jesus was saying to them, there's going to be a lot of people who pass into eternity and they're going to look back and they're say, I've really wasted my life. Again, I don't see this as being heaven and hell. This doesn't seem to be the context here. It seems that what Jesus is talking is about heaven and earth, heaven and people, maybe heaven and hell for other people. How important it is to be rich toward God. What makes us rich toward God? What helps us to store up treasures in heaven? Jesus tells us to work hard to do that. Our time, our talent, and our treasure. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 16, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? See, that's possible. There is heaven and hell. And it's possible that we can be so minded about things here that we do lose sight of and lose track of what salvation is. I don't believe that we lose our salvation. I don't believe that God just takes it and gives it and takes it and gives it. But we have always the free will to choose our relationship with God. And there will be some people who start down the road but will get distracted in this area of life, and they're going to lose out. There's a lot of ways that people can lose out, but this is one of them. And this just tells me in this context, in this verse, that Jesus was saying, don't let material things become your God, or I will have no other gods before me. Don't let the things that God allows in your life become more important than your relationship with Him. Satan is very deceptive. And especially Satan is deceptive about things that seem so desirable. He can be so deceptive about, for example, sexuality. That need and that drive within us and how we're wired and, you know, how we're, our blood and all that stuff, you know. He can take something good and make something so painful and ugly and demolishing of relationships. And another one is our possession. Satan can take a blessing and he can tempt us and he can try to hook us to pull us away from it belonging to God. Satan is very deceptive. You know, when it comes to this area, I only have one more page to go, so I'll keep trying. When it comes to this area, I have found very few old people that I have visited late in their life who talk about their possessions. I'm trying to remember of the dear, sweet old people that I go to see and who are in their whatever, 70s, 80s, 90s, 40s, whatever, but you know they're coming close to the end. I don't hear them talking about their possessions at all. They're not talking about anything they've treasured up on earth. They're talking about what they care about for heaven. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm just thinking of a particular family that comes to my mind right now in our church who's been praying for some family members. And I've heard the heart of this person over and over again. It has nothing to do about how much money's in the account, about what kind of car they drive or what condition the house is in. It's all about, I want my children and my grandchildren, my loved ones, to be with Jesus for all of eternity. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth destroy and thieves break in and steal, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Pray that God will help you to have a light that shines and keep praying. Don't give up praying for your loved ones. Don't give up when things are difficult and it seems pretty bleak and black. I just want to remind you, keep praying. God cares deeply about those. He cares deeply about them coming to faith in Him. And He wants your light to shine. Praying that the Holy Spirit would help us to know how to be a witness is so important. It's kind of a different subject, but praying for our loved ones. Praying for those that are in that circle of our influence and maybe outside of the circle of influence for now, but how God wants us to be minded toward them. Maybe it's with prayer. Maybe it's with our time. Maybe it's with our finances. I don't know what. But ask the Holy Spirit to show you. I know I have to pray about that in my life. This sermon is not about other people. It's about me too. What priorities does God want me to have? How much is the right amount? How much do I give? How much do I save? How much do I work? All those things. These are challenges for either one of us. I can't make that decision for you, but I can encourage you today to come before the Holy Spirit and ask Jesus to show you what's right for you. But do take the time to ask Him to evaluate your life, and He can show you what's best. Let's stand together for prayer.